Please turn with me in God's Word to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Read verse 8 down to the verse 12. Again, a well-known passage of Scripture. And really today, I just want to let Scripture do all the talking, the verses that we will look at or the verses that we will write down. And so we pray that the Lord will give us help as we come to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, so shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they on to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. Amen. We know the Lord will add the blessing of his word. We'll just unite together in prayer and we'll seek the Lord face for his help. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee one day our Saviour will return. And Lord, we look forward to that day when we shall be forever with the Lord. But Father, we pray until that time, help us to be looking for that blessed hope. Help us, O God, to live preparing a people for the coming of the Lord. Father, we pray even help us to be always busy about our Father's business. We pray, Lord, now for help given in the preaching of the word and in the hearing of the word. And may we have cause to rejoice this day in Jesus' name. Amen. The verses that we have read together deal with Christ's exaltation, his ascension into heaven, but they also deal with his coming again. 40 days after Christ's resurrection, he was with his disciples, proving them by a series of infallible proofs that he was truly risen from the dead. And then from verses 4 to 8, teaching them things pertaining to the kingdom of God. In verse 9, when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. The disciples at this stage, they did not move. Verse 10 tells us they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up. Verse 11, they stand gazing up into heaven. It was as if Christ was gone forever. Now, there was nothing wrong with their looking up into heaven, but the issue was all they did was kept gazing into heaven. They had become spectators, doing nothing, looking up to an empty sky. They had forgotten the words of the Saviour when he said in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, that they were to go back to Jerusalem and wait until they be endued with power from on high. But on this occasion, they kept looking, they kept staring up into the sky. And therefore, we learn in verse 10, two men stood by them in white apparel. And they said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye up gazing into heaven? And then they give the message, This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. These angels, they are messengers sent to stir up the Lord's people, to show them where their Saviour is now. He is risen, he's ascended, and he is in heaven. And so if someone comes to you and asks you, where is the Savior? You can say, my Savior is in heaven. We know he is in heaven. As we take all different Bible verses together, he has gone within the veil. And he is in heaven, interceding, praying for all whom his blood was shed for. And he will remain there until the day he comes back to earth. And so until his second coming, until he comes back, we are to serve him on earth, but at the same time, keep our eyes thinking, focused upon that blessed hope. And that's what the apostles did. That's what the servants of God were to do. They were to learn Christ has gone up to heaven, but he will return. Therefore, as you wait for his return, live for him. Prepare a people for the coming of the Lord. Because be assured, this same Jesus, which was taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner. And so the message is, he is coming again. And that ought to thrill our hearts, child of God. Jesus Christ is coming again. He died. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. But one day, the King will come back in all his glory. And we look forward to that day. Christ is coming again. And that's what we want to think about today. Now, there's many different areas when you come to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I will not go into every single detail, though I may give some suggestions to try and steer you away from false theories, different things regarding this secret rapture and all the other nonsense that's out there today. But nonetheless, we will mention some things as we go along. But I'm not getting in, as I said, to the all millennial views. We said before, whether you're amillennial, postmillennial, or premillennial, we're not getting into that today, but certainly we can make mention of a few things. But notice as we think of the, I make that clear because when people think the second coming of the Lord, then they're looking for certain things. But we just want to focus today the fact, the truth, that Christ is coming back. That's what we want to center upon today. Christ is coming back. Notice, first of all, the promise of his coming. Verse 11, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So there's no doubt that God's people need to be reminded again and again of these promises, because we often forget. The words shall so come. They speak of a promise. That was the promise to these disciples. The Savior shall so come. It was a certain, it was a guarantee. He will come again because he has promised this. Remember John chapter 14, verse 3. The Lord Jesus said, I go and prepare a place for you. I will come again. And so there's the promise. I will come again. And we know he's speaking the truth, because in verse 6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Matthew chapter 24, when the Savior answered questions regarding what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world, from verses 3 to 29, he then gave the promise in verse 30. And then he said, shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and with great glory. Again, the Lord taught his coming by different parables. Again, these are earthly stories with heavenly meanings. He took an illustration of the day to teach a truth. Matthew chapter 26 or 25, verse 6, he said, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Luke chapter 19, verse 12. And a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And so Christ himself is pictured as the bridegroom. Go out to meet him. He is pictured as the nobleman who will return with and for his kingdom. Again, this promise of the Lord's coming was also stated in the days of Enoch. We must make that clear, because the second coming of Christ is not just something taught in the New Testament. Rather, we learn in the days of Enoch. What did Jude say in Jude 14? And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these things, saying. So Enoch, what did he say? The seventh from Adam, back in those early days of creation. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. So there's even Enoch spoke about the coming of Christ. Again, David in Psalm 96, verse 13, David said, for he cometh. Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came in the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, and all people, nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So here are verses regarding the promise of Christ coming. Acts chapter 1, verse 11, it stated, Jesus shall so come. Even though the kings of the earth have set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed, but not even the enemies of Christ can stop his coming. Nothing can hinder the king coming back in all his glory. The king is coming back. I will come again. This same Jesus shall so come. He is coming again. And therefore, believer, this is our never-failing confidence. This is our comfort. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise. This same Jesus who literally went up into heaven will literally come back from heaven. And we expect his coming. And we are to occupy until he comes. May it be our delight always to have a view of the second coming of Christ, to prepare as John the Baptist did regarding the first coming, also with a view of the second coming, to prepare a people for the coming of the Lord, because the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And therefore we must be ready. We must tell men and women to be prepared for the coming of the Savior. Oh, tell them, yes, Christ crucified. He died for sin. He atones for sin. He washes whiter than the snow. But tell them as well, he is a risen Savior. He's an ascending Savior. He is now in heaven. But one day, that Savior will return for all who have believed on him. He will return for all who is in his covenantal community. He will return for his own people, where they will enter in to the joy of eternal rest. But for those who are not saved, for those who are Christ rejectors, for those who are walking the road thinking they're going to heaven because they trust in religious works and practices, the Lord will say to them, as Matthew 25, verse 12, I know you not. But Lord, we've done this in your name. We attended that Free Presbyterian Church. We listened to that wee man in the pulpit. Lord, is that not good enough? We give offerings to the church work. We did this and we did that. Lord, I even missed the bus and got a taxi to get there. Is this not enough? I know not you. And you'll be sentenced to a lost eternity. Make no mistake, the promise of his coming, the Lord is coming back. Are you prepared for his coming? I tell you this, the coming of the Lord will be a delight and a joy for the people of God. But for those who are not saved, it will be a day of terror. It will be a day of wrath. It will be a day of ruin. The promise of his coming. Are you ready? Are you looking forward? Are you rejoicing? Because here was the message. Go back to Jerusalem. Pray. Seek God until you're endued with power. God's going to use you mightily. Because this same Jesus which went up into heaven shall so come again. The promise of his coming. Notice secondly, the pattern of his coming. What way will Jesus come back? Again, the words, verse 11. This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner. The words in like manner mean in the same way or even as. So you can read it. Is taken up from you into heaven, so shall come in like manner, in the same way, even as ye have seen him go into heaven. So let me just, for those writing notes, the words in like manner mean in the same way, even as. The Lord used this word himself in Matthew chapter 23, verse 27, when he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered you together, thy children, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. And notice that the Lord's saying, just as the hen gathereth the chickens under the wings, so likewise, in the same manner, the same way, I would have gathered you unto myself, but you would not. You rejected the message. I would have gathered you in the same way, in the same manner, even as. And so this is the meaning of this word. And taking the meaning of this phrase, the men of Galilee, they're told, the same Jesus, he will return in like manner, even as you have seen him go up, the same way, in like manner, the exact same, shall he return. And so this leads then on to the thought, in what way did they see Christ go into heaven? Have you ever thought about that? In what way did they see Christ go into heaven? When they're being told this same Jesus shall come in like manner, even as in the exact same way as you have seen him go up, then what way did he go up? Because to learn the way he came up is to then grasp the way he will return. And so notice certain thoughts here that I want to leave with you in this pattern. Notice, Jesus ascended personally into heaven, so he will return personally from heaven to earth. Verse 11, we emphasize those words, this same Jesus. Verse 9, he was taken up and a cloud received him out of their sight. Again, notice the titles. We think in Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with great power, great glory. So see, they saw him personally go. They saw Jesus go into heaven. And it is the Lord Jesus who will return. Not an imposter, but the Lord himself. The title, the Son of Man, refers to one of his two distinct natures in his blessed person. Connects the title, the Son of God, speaking of his deity, and the Son of Man, speaking of his humanity. When Jesus ascended and entered into heaven, he did so as the God-man, both God and man. Remember, at his birth, his incarnation, he took on to his deity a true humanity without sin. And entering into heaven, he did not set aside his humanity. There is no change in our blessed Lord Jesus' nature, nor will there ever be. This same Jesus will come again. This same Jesus who has gone into heaven. This same Jesus who sat in Pilate's judgment hall. This same Jesus who John says, we have heard, we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. This same Jesus shall so come. This same Jesus who after his resurrection appeared in John 20, verse 20, showed unto his disciples his hands and his side. This same Jesus shall come. This same Jesus who led them to the Mount of Olives and then gave instruction and ascended into heaven. This same Jesus shall so come in like manner. He went up from earth personally into heaven. And when he comes back, he will come back personally from heaven to earth. So the Lord's coming will be personal. Notice also, the Lord ascended physically into heaven. So he will return from heaven physically to earth. Again, this same Jesus, and we'll emphasize the words, which is taken up from you into heaven. Christ was taken to heaven from earth. And so when he returns from heaven, he will return to earth. He went bodily into heaven. He will come back bodily from heaven to earth. That's why Job could say in Job 19, verse 25 to 27, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And the word liveth is in the continual tense. You could read it like this. And remember, Job is one of the first, really, the oldest books really in the Bible. Lived a long time along with the early patriarchs. Job could say, I know my Redeemer is living. Job had a view of Christ, of his death, his burial, his resurrection, and his return. I know my Redeemer liveth. I know my Redeemer is living. He's my Redeemer. He's my representative. And I know he's returning because he said that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Christ will stand again upon the earth. And in my flesh shall I see God, whom I shall see for myself, and mine I shall behold, and not another. He ascended physically into heaven. Notice also, Christ ascended publicly into heaven. And so he will return publicly from heaven to earth. Verse 11. Again, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner, or the same way, even as ye have seen him go into heaven. We emphasize the words, as ye have seen him go. As you have seen him go. So I could say, as I see you leave this building, so I will see you come this way next week. As you see it. They saw him publicly. We could say visibly if you want to. His coming, they seen him go into heaven. Ascending into heaven. It was public. It was visible. There was no mistaking. There was no illusion. Again, ye have seen him go. They seen him. What does the Bible say? Revelation 1 verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Again, in answering the high priest's question, in Mark chapter 14, verse 61, art thou Christ, the Son of the Blessed? The Lord answered in verse 61 onwards. Jesus said, I am, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Ye shall see. And so here's the lesson. As you've seen him with your eye, so he will return. It will be public. It will be visible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Notice, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise. Let me tell you this. The Lord shall come with a shout and the voice and the trumpet sound. There's nothing secret and there's nothing silent about that. And therefore, put out of your mind this teaching today of a secret, a silent rapture. I'm not really into stories or illustrations, but I have heard this before. I don't know who the original person of it, but I have heard it from different people, so I'll just use it. A preacher of the word and his wife was taking a woman's meeting. Now, I don't know who it was, and I've heard this story different times, but I'll just relay it anyway because it makes the point. And his wife was doing a woman's meeting, and she came in and said, dear, I'm speaking on the second coming of Christ, and I'm speaking on the secret rapture. Could you give me a Bible verse? Oh, yes, dear, that's so easy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God shall sound. And she said, dear, that doesn't sound very silent. That doesn't sound very secret. And the preacher just looked, that's right. And because it's not, that's the whole point. There is no secret rapture. There is no silent coming of the Lord. He's coming back victorious. And let me just say this here. I don't believe in all this dispensational nonsense either about the premillennial pre-tribulation, about this rapture. The church is away, then 7 years, and then the Lord comes back. I don't. I may be a premillennial, a post-tribulationist, and I agree with my amillennial, my post-millennial brethren, that the coming of the Lord and the rapture are one event. They are the same. But I disagree with those who teach that the church is raptured, and then there's this 7 year tribulation, and then the Lord comes back. I disagree with that fully. It's not scriptural. And so, the point I'm making is this. The Lord, when he returns, it will be visible. It will be public. Every eye will see him. There will be the trump of the Lord sounding forth. The Lord himself. What a blessed day that will be for the people of God. When the Lord comes back for all his people. Again, as taught in Matthew 13, we learn that there will be a day of separation. The wheat and the tares. The good and the bad fish. Matthew 25, the wise and the foolish. Matthew chapter 25, verse 31 refers to the sheep and the goats. And in Matthew chapter 25, we learn verse 33, and he shall set the sheep on his right hand. The sheep, remember, referring to the Lord's people. I give unto my sheep eternal life. So the sheep are referring to God's people. I give unto my sheep eternal life. So the sheep are on the right hand, but the goats, representing the unsaved, they are on the left. Verse 34, then the king say unto them on his right hand, who are the sheep, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Verse 41, then he shall say unto them on the left hand, that is the goats, the unsaved, depart from me, ye accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. And on that day when the Lord comes back, that great day of separation, all the ungodly will be cast into hell. For after the millennial reign of Christ, they will be judged and cast into the lake of fire for all eternity with the devil and the false prophets. And I say to you, the day of judgment will come. What about you today? Where do you stand with Christ? Will you be with the sheep that will enter into the enjoyment for all eternity? Or will you be with the goats cast into hell, where hell will be cast into the lake of fire to be tormented forever, forever, forever? I say to you, men and women, you must have Christ as your Saviour. Young people, you must be prepared. All of us. No man is promised tomorrow. I said, and already we know this week, I was saying about today, about my wife's auntie passing away. That was so suddenly. Taking a heart attack. Being ushered out into God's eternity. No one expected. People talking to her the day before. She'd even had her bags packed to go and see family the day after. Everything was all ready. Even get her wee budgies to my wife's dad. Look after my wee birds for me until I'm away and I'll get them again. Everything was already organized. But just like that, she passed away. I say to you, are you prepared for that day when it comes to you? When you have to leave this scene of time, are you ready to meet God? If you don't meet him as your Savior, you will meet him as your judge, as your sentence. And therefore, be ready, because the Lord is coming back. So that's the pattern of his coming. Finally and briefly, the place of his coming. Where is the Lord coming back to? Verse 12, we learn they returned onto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. So this whole scene takes place on the mount called Olivet. And then they went back to Jerusalem. The Mount Olivet is also known as the Mount, or the Mount of Olives. Really more like a hill than a mountain. If you've ever been to Israel, I know some of you said you have been, and so you have these views already in your mind. And so if you've ever been to Jerusalem, or you see pictures of Jerusalem, one thing that usually stands out is the Golden Dome in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount, where Solomon's temple would have been built and then destroyed. And then today you have there what is termed as the Wailing Wall. That's the part that remains. And so the Mount of Olives, or Mount Olivet, it looks down upon that dome. And so you will find, whenever you do a tour of Israel, they usually get the group together on the Mount of Olives, and they take a group photograph, and in the background, looking down, they take a photo with the background of that golden dome. And that is the place called Mount Olivet, looking down upon, from the hill, down upon the city of Jerusalem, looking down upon that dome. And that's where this place, this scene takes place, on the Mount of Olives. And so it was this place that the Lord ascended from. He went into heaven. And this same Jesus shall so come in like manner. And when he comes, he will return to the Mount of Olives. He will go down then to Jerusalem. We learn Zechariah 14, verse 14. His feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And while there is a lot more, like I said, that takes place in this time, and I say the coming of the Lord is a wide subject, we're just looking simply today the fact that the Lord is coming back. But want you to learn that when he comes, he'll be coming to the Mount of Olives. Zechariah 14, verse 5, the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with him. We shall rule, and we shall reign with him. We shall be forever with the Lord. And therefore, believer, we look forward to the coming of Christ. We look forward to the day when he returns in all his glory. Whatever millennial view you take, here's what connects us all, is that the Lord is coming back. That's the key. He's coming back. And if you are a child of God, you will be forever with him. So I know we can get into all the nitty gritty of things, but never let the truth detract or be sidetracked. The Lord is coming back. And that's what we are to rejoice in. That's what we are to look forward to. We will come, he'll come back, and we will be forever with him. And as people always say, you may never get to go to Jerusalem. And maybe you've said, I was in Jerusalem 10 years ago, 30 years ago, 5 years ago, but I don't think I'll ever get again. Well, I will say to you, when the Lord comes back, you will be in Jerusalem, because you will be with the Lord, and you will be in that city, worshipping and praising the Lord. This same Jesus, which went, shall so come again. As ye have seen him go, you will see him return. And therefore, the truth is in the word of God. Christ is coming back. Rejoice in it. Unsaved, be ready. Have your notes well with your soul this day. In Jesus' name, amen.